time for the game show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. We haven't done the Catholic Answers game show in a long time. It's been months since we've done it, so it's fun to be back with the game show. We've got two great contestants all ready to go. We've got Carlo Broussard as our special guest. Carlo is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of It Used to Be Easy to Do Carlo's Book Titles. It's getting harder all the time. All right, Prepare the Way. That's his first book. Second book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Third book, coming out next month, Purgatory is for Real. Hello, welcome back, Cardinal.
Cardinal.
I promoted you to Cardinal. Carlo.
Hey, Cy. Great to be back, brother.
I'm so glad you're here. You're our superstar celebrity guest. I know you don't like celebrity. I mean to say celebrity, but you always help us so much with the questions. I should say, too, I write these quiz questions, and then Carlo sends me notes to say, well, what does that mean? I have no idea. No, he just helped me clean up my language sometimes.
Hey,
be a little more precise. Yeah.
I know how it feels, man. I just went through the gauntlet with my manuscript for Purgatory.
Yeah, right.
That's one beautiful thing about working here, right? It's peer-reviewed stuff, man. Yeah,
exactly, that is. All right, so if there's no calls this hour, you can sit back, relax, enjoy the show. If you have not woken up all your relatives and brought them into the family room, the den, the dining area where you can enjoy the game show together, you need to do that right now. Perhaps step out of the room while I introduce our guests. You're going to probably need a piece of paper and a pencil, but this is a family game. We want you to play along at home. Our guest, our first contestant, and I assume that this will be contestant number one because she's listed first here. Teresa, are you there with us?
Hi, yes, I am.
Hi, Teresa. Where are you right now?
I am in Southampton, New York.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Can you tell us anything interesting about you?
No, I guess I'm not very interesting at all. Cradle Catholic. I'm a school administrator, and I have two dogs, a cat, and a pet rabbit.
I find all of that interesting, actually.
Very
I was going to ask Marie to hang up on you and get us a new guest if you were not going to be interesting, but that's all very interesting, yes. Contestant number two is Mark. Where are you right now, Mark?
Southern Pines, North Carolina.
All right. It's North Carolina against New York. And what's interesting about you, Mark?
Also Cradle Catholic, retired Army. I still work for the Army. I think the most interesting thing is I haven't missed a episode of Catholic Answers Live since I found it with Patrick Coffin in 2009.
Wow.
Wow, Teresa, that's better than yours. I'm sorry, but that's better.
It's way more interesting than me.
No, but that's really cool. I don't want to hear any more talk about Patrick Coffin, though. All right? That's the last time we mention his name while we do this show.
Joke.
Mark, thank you very much for your service. Retired
yes.
from the Army means
thank you, Mark. You
did a full career in the Army.
I did, 23 years.
Beautiful.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. All right. Here's the way. I'm going to give you the rules now, and then you can ask me any questions if you have any questions after I do the rules. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Yep. We are going to do three rounds. They are called round one, round two, and final judgment. Final judgment is reserved for the winner of round one and round two. So if you are the winner after the first two rounds, you go on to final judgment. If you are not the winner, someone we also call the loser, we are going to give you a parting gift and thank you for your participation. Round one is six multiple choice questions, three to each contestant. And round two is six multiple choice questions, three to each contestant. Everybody clear on the rules so far?
Yeah,
got it.
All right. There are two afterlife lines, however, that are available to you, and both of them are under Carlo's control. The first afterlife line is 50-50. You can ask him to eliminate one wrong answer, and that will leave you with just a correct answer and a wrong answer, and you'll have to pick one. The other afterlife line that you have with Carlo is you can just ask him to give you the correct answer. Is that all clear?
Yep.
All right, I got to
say.
They haven't missed a show.
I guess they haven't missed a show. All right, you're right. He'll give you the correct answer, but it will be in Pig Latin. So if we get to your last question and you still have not used that lifeline, I will force you to use it just so that we can hear Carlo say the answer in Pig Latin, okay? All right, Teresa, you are contestant number one. That only comes into play if you are the two of you are tied after rounds one and two, because contestant number one gets the privilege of picking box A or B, which tells us who goes on. Otherwise, it just means you go first for each question. So, Teresa, we're ready for question one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. The major difference between, oh, by the way, I got to ask both of you, don't give your answer until I repeat the question, because families are playing along at home, and they woke Grandma and Grandpa up for this. They gathered the whole family together. And so we want to give them a chance to choose their answer before we get your answer. So I will say each question twice. Question number one for contestant number one, Teresa in New York. The major difference between Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics is that A, Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept the Old Testament. B, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe Jesus is God. Or C, Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept the letters of St. Paul. Once again, that question is, the major difference between Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics is that A, Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept the Old Testament. B, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe Jesus is God. Or C, Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept the letters of St. Paul. Yes. Oh, yes. Sorry, Teresa. We're ready for your answer. Yes. Go ahead.
I
wish it were
that's
that
wrong,
one.
That's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be better. I mean, because I think it's a very serious. I mean, either is very serious. But the correct answer, Jehovah's Witness, is what?
They do not believe that Jesus is God. That's essential for Christianity. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was the first created being of Jehovah God, right? So he was a divine-like spirit, the only created being directly created by God, and all other things were created through Jesus, but nevertheless, he was created and even identified as Michael the Archangel.
Yeah.
So he is a created being, but of course, we as Christians deny that he is a part of the created order of things because he is equal to the Father in his very being. So we say he is God. Jehovah's Witnesses say he is not.
All right, Teresa, thank you. Question number one for Mark. Question number one for contestant number two. Mark, Catholics believe demons are A.
Got the first question wrong.
A, evil spirits, but not persons. B, symbolic personifications of evil. Or C, evil persons of a purely spiritual nature. Once again, for those playing at home, Catholics believe demons are A, evil spirits, but not persons. B, symbolic personifications of evil. Or C, evil persons of a purely spiritual nature.
I'm going to say C.
Wait, I didn't hear what it was. What was his answer?
He said C. He got it right.
C.
Oh, C. Okay.
Yes.
I apologize.
Good job, Mark.
You are correct. It's a little weird to hear the happy, joyful, we're playing a game show music. We're talking about demons, but you can explain the answer to.
Yeah, well, as you say in the answer, they are evil persons. Now, they are evil in as much as they have rejected God, right, upon their creation. So as the Catechism points out in 391, the devil and other demons were indeed created naturally good by God, but they became evil by their own doing. Now, indeed, they are persons, right? They are intelligent beings with intellect and will. They're rational creatures, but unlike we, as rational creatures who have a body-soul composite, unity there, demons, along with righteous, pure spiritual beings, right? They're purely spiritual, so they don't
have
bodies, correct? They're pure spirits, but demons would be pure spirits who have rejected God and thus constitute evil spirits, right?
So just remember the old song, I Ain't Got No Body, and you'll... all right. Question number two. That wasn't even funny. Nobody thought that was funny.
I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
All right, Teresa, here's your second question for round one. Teresa, a sacrament is A, visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. B, an invisible sign of actual grace. Or C, not a sign, but only an act of grace. Let me do that again for folks at home. A sacrament is A, a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace, B, an invisible sign of actual grace, or C, not a sign, but only an act of grace?
Yeah, I'm going to say A.
I'm glad you said A. Were you just going to say A until you got one right, or did you know that one?
Yeah, I just figured I'll say all A's.
Good job, Therese.
That one I actually knew.
Beautiful. I bet you remembered it from that old Baltimore Catechism, right?
Yeah, that's the...
I remembered it because I teach seventh grade.
Oh, good for you. Beautiful. Great. Hey, that's great. Interesting.
Yeah, it is a visible sign, though. There's a visible sign for every single sacrament.
It wouldn't be a sacrament if there was
no visible sign,
correct? Paragraph 1131 of the Catechism defines the sacraments as efficacious signs of grace instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church, by which divine life is dispensed to us. So a visible sign that gives us grace, but it's a visible sign, and this is a key point, instituted by Christ. So it comes from Christ himself.
I got to take a break. Nick says I got to take a break. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll get to your question number two right after this, contestant number two. That's Mark. Contestant number two. Your question number two coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Trevor Williams from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Why do we need to pray? Well, the Catholic faith is all about communion with God. And prayer is the form that our communion with God takes. If we're not praying, we're not in communion with God. But we can get in communion with God really quickly by prayer. It's the easiest, quickest, and only route to connect to our Creator. And that's what we're made for. That's why we need to pray.
That's the game show music. That means it's time for the Catholic Answers Game Show. Recently voted the world's greatest game show by my family. Thanks so much for being here with us. We've got Teresa in New York, Mark in North Carolina, playing for a fabulous selection of prizes, which we will get to shortly. We are in the midst of round one. On question number two, round one for Mark. Mark, which of the following is not one of the precepts of the Catholic Church? Which of the following is not one of the precepts of the Catholic Church? A, to observe the days of fasting established by the Church. B, to pray the rosary. C, to help provide for the material needs of the church. Once again, for those playing at home, which of the following is not one of the precepts of the Catholic Church? A, to observe the days of fasting established by the church. B, to pray the rosary. C, to help to provide for the material needs of the church.
It be the rosary.
Good for you. Congratulations.
It is correct that praying the rosary is not a precept of the church.
Yeah, we made that as complicated as we could. So so you are one of those people who doesn't like the rosary or Mary. I'm sorry to hear that, Mark. Is that? No, that's not
really
true.
That's called a non sequitur.
That was a non sequitur, yes.
Right.
What's the precepts of the Catholic Church? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Well, the precepts are found. These are certain precepts, that, you know, sort of the minimal approach to Catholicism that all Catholics are bound to follow, right? And the precepts are listed in paragraph 2042 in the Catechism. You first precept, attend Mass on Sundays, holy days of obligations, rest from servile labor, right? And then it goes on to articulate the other precepts of the church, as you articulated in some of the answers there, observing the days of fasting, providing for the material needs of the church, etc.
All right, we are on to your last question of round one, contestant number one, Teresa. Teresa, the church at the time of the apostles... No, oh, I did this again. Maybe I should stop wording these backwards like this. Okay, but here we go, Teresa. The church at the time of the apostles did not have A, sacraments, B, a hierarchy, C, a belief that one is saved by faith alone. Teresa, the church at the time of the apostles did not have A, sacraments, B, a hierarchy, C, a belief that one is saved by faith alone.
Oh, my gosh. Can I get Carlos to help me?
Oh, sure. You can get Carla to help you. What do you want? Do you want him to do the Pig Latin or you want to do the 50-50?
Oh, I'm Pig Latin.
Pig Latin. You got it.
All right. Give me the instructions on Pig Latin again, Si.
Okay,
help me out here.
You take the first letter off the word.
Put it on the end
and
add
then
you
add the A sound.
Okay.
A,
all right. So here we go. You ready, Teresa? All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. A elifbe hate neoe sie evade ibe efe. Lonei.
Could you get that one? Was it sacraments, a hierarchy, or a belief that one is saved by faith alone? As sad as this is, that was the best Carlo has ever done. Which one
is awesome? So my answer is C.
Beautiful.
You are correct. Go ahead, Carlo.
Well, the sacraments were there. All seven sacraments were there, right? The hierarchy was there. We see that in Jesus' teaching and establishing a rank of hierarchy. We see the bishops, presbyters, and deacons in Paul's epistles to Timothy and Titus, right? And we even see that in subsequent years, a few years after John the Apostle, about AD 107, in the writings of Ignatius of Antioch, right? Bishop, priest, deacon, threefold rank is there. But the belief that one is saved by faith alone, that is not a belief that was a part of historic Christianity.
It came a couple years later. What was the year?
Not a couple of years, maybe like 1,500 years.
Oh, 1,500 years later, yeah.
Where the doctrine of justification by faith alone was introduced by Martin Luther and subsequent reformers. But that was not a belief that was a part of historic Christianity. Yes, St. Paul does say we're justified by faith apart from the works of the law in Romans 3:28, but that does not mean we're justified by faith alone, right? Works do play an essential role in our salvation, as James teaches us in James 2:24, where he says we are not justified. We are justified by works and not by faith alone. But of course, there's more nuances that have to be articulated concerning where do works fit in this movement toward God as our ultimate end, right?
Yep. All right. Nice work there. And thank you for making Carlo do the Pig Latin. Appreciate it. We go now to Mark in North Carolina for your last question of round number one. Mark, Catholics believe that marriage is A, an eternal bond, B, a lifelong bond except in cases of annulment, or C, a lifelong bond. Once again, for those playing at home, Catholics believe that marriage is A, an eternal bond, B, a lifelong bond, except in cases of annulment, or C, a lifelong bond.
I'm going to throw the lifeline, and I'm going Pig Latin.
He wants the Pig Latin one.
Okay, you ready, Mark? Here we go, brother.
Yep.
I fele ongle ondebe.
That's not correct at all, but...
what?
That's not... Bond wouldn't be... On day bay. No, it would be
on bay.
On bay.
On bay. Yeah. All right. Did you get that, Mark? Hopefully you understood that, brother.
What is marriage, Mark?
C.
Yes.
C, a lifelong bond. You are correct.
Now, it's interesting, Mark. Why did you reach out for the lifeline on that one? Were you a bit confused with B?
Yes.
Si was trying to trip you up a little bit.
Yeah, the caveat at the end is like tricky because it could be that if the church grants annulment and they declare that there was no marriage, but
that's right. The declaration of nullity says that the bond never existed in the first place.
So that's why you can't say a marriage is lifelong except in cases of annulment, because in annulment, specifically the declaration is there was no marriage.
Right.
Thank you.
Good job, Mark.
It sounds like I genuinely put Mark to sleep, but can we have Patrick Coffin back, please? All right, Mark. I told you not to mention Patrick Coffin. 888. No, I can't give out the phone number. We're playing the game show. I'm supposed to do the score now. We're the end of What is the score, Marie? We have 2 points for Teresa, 3 points for Mark. So Mark is ahead by 1 point after one round. We have the second round to go. We now go to round two. Just a reminder, whoever survives round one and round two becomes the contestant for final judgment. So we're working our way towards final judgment. Well, we all are. Teresa, the first question of round two is for you. You ready to go, Teresa?
I am.
All right, here we go. Teresa, the Catholic Church believes in the universal destination of goods. The Catholic belief in the universal destination of goods means, this is so complicated, so you got to listen carefully. A, the whole of the natural world is given by God to the whole of humankind. Or B, it means, ultimately, there should be one government for all people. Or it means C, each person should do the most good that he or she can do. All right. Once again, these are long, so I'm going to read it again. The Catholic belief in the universal destination of goods means A, the whole of the natural world is given by God to the whole of humankind. B, ultimately, there should be one government for all people. Or C, each person should do the most good that he or she can do.
I have to say A, because that's my belief.
A is correct. And nice. Teresa, that belief is the belief of the Catholic Church. Paragraph 2402, sign the Catechism, states, in the beginning, God entrusted the earth and its resources to the common stewardship of mankind to take care of them, master them by labor, and enjoy their fruits. The goods of creation are destined for the whole human race.
And the shorthand for that is the universal destination of goods. That's
there you
how we
go.
Talk about that. Nicely done. Yay. Nicely done,
good
Teresa.
Job.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to Mark now for your first question of round two. Mark, the Catholic belief in the universal destination of goods includes the belief that A, private property is necessary for the common good. B, private property is forbidden. C, all private property is an illusion. Once again, for those playing at home, the Catholic belief in the universal destination of goods includes the belief that A, private property is necessary for the common good. B, private property is forbidden. Or C, all private property is an illusion.
The answer is A, private property is necessary.
Very good, Mark. Yes, Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2403, affirms this proposition, private property is necessary for the common good. But in the previous paragraph, in paragraph 2402, it gives the reason for it. It says the earth is divided up among men to assure the security of their lives, endangered by poverty and threatened by violence. The appropriation of property is legitimate for guaranteeing the freedom and dignity of persons and for helping each of them to meet his basic needs and the needs of those in charge. So the church is affirming the necessity of private property as being necessary for the common good and given the reasons for it.
If God made everything for everybody.
Right.
I'm sorry, Teresa and Mark, I got to work this out with Carlo. We'll be right back to the game show. But that for the purposes of the common good, we must respect private property. There must be the private property then is not an absolute right. Is that correct? Did I reason that out correctly?
Correct.
So like if I have something that someone else desperately needs,
right,
it actually belongs to them.
That's right. Because justice would demand that you help that other individual achieve the goods that he or she is naturally ordered to. If your possession of that property is in principle impeding and thwarting that other individual from achieving the natural goods that God has ordained that person to, love, charity, justice would demand that we help that person achieve that good.
So
if our possession of some good and keeping it from them is thwarting them from achieving it. Now, of course, right. we could do something to help that person achieve some good, right?
Yeah.
But if we're unable to do that, then we ought to share what goods we have with that other individual in principle. Those are the principles that would guide our assessment of that scenario.
Right. So you, but you, like, if that's a pretty heavy obligation on us. Like,
right.
If I've got something that you desperately, I got some food and you desperately need food, in a certain sense, the food is a gift to both of us from God. And
right.
If I hold it, if I keep all of it, I'm keeping God's gift to you from you.
In the circumstances that you have the capability
yeah.
and the means by which you can provide that good to the other individual.
All right. Teresa and Mark, we're still playing the game show. I just had to get that all straightened out so I knew what I was supposed to do with my goods this weekend. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Teresa in New York is contestant number one. Mark in North Carolina is contestant number two. We're playing the game show. We'll continue with round two and work our way towards final judgment right after this on Catholic Answers Live. A few minutes each week with our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, will help you understand and defend your Catholic faith like a boss. Get it wherever you get your podcasts or listen anytime at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. We Catholics just celebrated the Assumption and Coronation of Mary, so we asked Father Hugh about these important feasts, and he ended up telling us some really cool things about Mary going to heaven and being crowned queen. Also this week, the Catholic Church teaches that our justification, which can also be called getting right with God, is not a one-time thing but a process. But the letter to the Romans seems to imply that our justification might just be a one-time event. Carlo Broussard explains the truth about what St. Paul taught and why the Catholic Church gets this one right. Catholic Answers Focus is free, brand new twice a week, and now available on YouTube.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
How do we know Jesus founded a visible, organized church? Is today's Catholic Church the same as the Church of the Apostles and the early Christians? What can I say to someone who claims the medieval church became corrupted by pagan ideas and practices? In 20 Answers, The Church, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you to understand how the church Jesus founded is able to carry on through history his mission of teaching and sanctifying his followers. 20 Answers, The Church is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world. All in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Does the church have too many rules? Join me, Dr. David Anders, as we answer your questions right here on Called to Communion, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Game Show only happens about once every 2 months now, so it's a rarity when you get to be here for the game show. Mostly because we don't want to give away prizes. It costs a lot of money to give away prizes. We don't like doing
Speaking of distribution of goods.
Yeah, we don't want to distribute our goods for free. One of the wrong answers was private property is an illusion. Bob on Facebook said, in my case, private property is an illusion. It's funny. Okay, so we're not going to give out the phone number because we got two guests here with us. Teresa in New York, Mark in North Carolina. We're playing for Pride on each side of the Mason-Dixon line. And right now we are in the midst of round two, heading towards final judgment. At the end of round two, we'll add up all the scores and see who's got the most points. That person will go on to final judgment. But I should say, each have already used one of their two lifelines. They've all each used their give me the correct answer in Pig Latin lifeline. But they both of you, Teresa and Mark, have the 50-50 lifeline left. That means Carlo will take out one wrong answer, and then you got a 50-50 chance at it after that. We go to Mark's question now. It's Mark's turn. Teresa. We just did Mark. It's Teresa's turn. So Teresa, question number two of round two. Teresa, the deposit of faith, A, includes scripture and tradition. B, has already been made completely explicit. Or C, does not include the deuterocanonical books. This is a hard question, Darren. Why'd you let me put this one in here? All right. The positive faith. I got to read it again for those playing along at home. Grandma and Grandpa know the answer to this, but I don't think the kids do. I don't think we do this kind of catechism anymore. The deposit of faith, A, includes scripture and sacred tradition. B, has already been made completely explicit. Or C, does not include the deuterocanonical books.
The deposit of faith, you said, is the question?
Yes, the deposit of faith.
But like the word is deposit.
Yes. Deposit, yeah. Just like you would deposit something into a bank account, God has deposited something with us for our faith life. Do you want me to do the question again?
Okay, can you give me the answers again?
Yeah, sure, I will. Do you want me to just give you the right answer and we'll cheat? Just don't tell Mark and I'll just give you the right answer. Oh no, I always get an angry letter from somebody when I joke about cheating. Do not cheat. Nobody. No cheating out. See how stern I got? I don't want to get that angry letter again.
Yeah, but that's what confession is for.
No.
Now I'm going to get that letter because of you, Teresa. I'm going to get that letter. Right. Okay, Teresa, the deposit of faith is, no, the deposit of faith, A, includes scripture and tradition. B, has already been made completely explicit. Or C, does not include the deuterocanonical books.
Okay, Carlo, take one away, please.
All right, I'll take away C, does not include the deuterocanonical books.
Okay, I'm going to say A.
Very good,
wow,
Teresa.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Yeah,
you got mad at me. You wanted me to take away B.
Well, I thought
it would have been easier.
I think you would have made it easier on her. Yeah, if you took away B.
Good job, Teresa. I'm proud of you. Yeah, paragraph 84 in the Catechism states the apostles entrusted the sacred deposit of the faith, the depositum fidei, contained in sacred scripture and tradition, to the whole of the church. So the deposit.
Yeah, I've never heard that term, deposit of faith.
Yeah, it refers to the body of revealed truth coming to us from Jesus and the apostles. That body of revealed truth is contained in both sacred scripture and sacred tradition.
And tradition.
Could you just real quick explain the reason why has already been made completely explicit is a wrong answer?
That is correct, because although the stuff is there, right,
yeah,
in this completed form, it requires, some things are not seen in an explicit way yet by the church. And this is the proper understanding of the development of doctrine,
yeah,
right? So we have the revealed truth, but some things aren't seen immediately. It takes time and the church praying, you know, through the liturgy and meditating and
right,
meditating on the word of God, and then coming to a greater understanding and a more penetrating knowledge of that revealed truth, and then giving sort of formal definitions of propositions that you wouldn't see formalized in the early church in the first centuries,
yeah,
but the stuff is there, the reality is there. It just
yeah,
takes time to see it and then formalize it. So Mary's Immaculate Conception, Mary's bodily assumption, even the Trinity itself, right?
It's all part of the original deposit,
and
but
the two
it needs
natures
to be explained.
Of Jesus, that's yeah, all there in reality, but it takes time to see it with more clarity and give a formal explanation of it.
And we never get rid of the deuterocanonical books.
Amen. It's part of the Old Testament.
That's one,
it's inspired
one of the,
word of God.
One of the two basic rules of life. Never get rid of the deuterocanonical
right,
books and brush every day. Okay, your second question of round two.
You got to include wash your hands, brother.
Well, yeah, that's a new right. Wash your hands all the time. Okay. Your second question, Mark in North Carolina, private revelations. A, add to the deposit of faith. B, are not part of the deposit of faith. C, take away from the deposit of faith. Mark, private revelations. A, add to the deposit of faith. B, are not part of the deposit of faith. Or C, take away from the deposit of faith.
B, not part of the deposit of faith.
I bet. That is correct. Good job, Mark. I bet he listened to our previous hour. If he's listened to every Catholic hour of Catholic Answers Live, he got the answer to that question in the previous
that's right,
hour.
Yeah, because a woman called up asking right, about a private revelation from this Irish lady.
Mark, am I right on that one?
No, because most of the episodes I get through the magic of podcasting.
Oh, okay. All right.
That would have been smart for me to have listened to the first one. But
it's okay if you want to just say I listened to all the episodes except Carlos. You know, it would hurt him. But
yeah, Mark is right. Paragraph 67 in the Catechism affirms this, that private revelations do not belong to the deposit of faith. However, at least we're speaking about those approved, right?
Yeah.
They do not improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, right? But they do help us live more fully by it in a certain period of history. So there is a good of private revelations approved by the church, but they do not belong to the deposit of faith in sacred scripture and tradition, and thus are not binding for us on us as Christians to believe.
All right, your last question of round two, Teresa. Jesus had a human body, but not a human soul. B, a divine nature, and he merely appeared to be human. Or C, a human body and soul. Teresa, once again, Jesus had a human body, but not a human soul. B, only a divine nature, and he merely appeared to be human. Or C, a human body and soul.
Oh, gosh, this is a trick question, guys. Jesus was fully human and fully divine, so it's either A or C. I can't ask Carlo for help.
Wait, I'm going to read the answers to you again, because I think you're ready to just give us the correct answer. So I'm going to read them again, and if you think about them closely, because you said he's fully God and fully divine, so the answer is there.
He's fully human
and
fully divine. That's
so here's
what she said.
Here's
fully
the answers
divine.
Again. If you know that, then here's the answers again you get to pick from. Jesus had a human body, but not a human soul. B, only a divine nature, and he merely appeared to be human. Or C, a human body and soul.
Okay, I'm
going to
say A.
Did you say A? You got that one wrong, Teresa. So sorry.
Wait. You said
Go ahead.
Explain.
Okay.
No, just explain to me.
Okay, a human body, but not a human soul
would mean not fully man.
That's correct. But a human body and a human soul, that's a full human being. So that was C. The right answer would be C. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sai got you with the not.
Sorry about that.
Actually, if you think about it,
a
body without a human soul is either going to be A, a corpse, right?
Yeah.
Or B, like a zombie or something.
Yeah,
right?
It's not really.
A body that's being manipulated by some spirit that's not essentially ordered toward
right.
it, yeah. right?
So, your last question of round two, Mark in North Carolina. Jesus descended to the realm of the dead. A, but his soul never separated from his divine nature. B, but his soul was never separated from his body. Or C, but his soul remained in heaven. Your final question for those who are playing at home, once again, Jesus descended to the realm of the dead. A, but his soul was never separated from his divine nature. B, but his soul was never separated from his body. Or C, but his soul remained in heaven.
I'll throw that lifeline.
Okay, 50-50.
Okay.
Throw one out.
I'm going to eliminate C, but his soul remained in heaven. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But I'm eliminating C, but his soul remained in heaven. So you got either A or B. Sai, you want to repeat those?
Okay, A is his soul was never separated from his divine nature, or B, his soul was never separated from his body.
It has to be A, because if it hadn't separated from his body, he would never have died.
Amen, brother. You got it. Good reasoning that one out.
That's some good philosophy there, brother.
Yep. What does that mean is...
Well, okay, so his soul was never separated from his divine nature. That is the person of the Word, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one divine person, second person of the Blessed Trinity, was united to both soul and body in the separation of the soul and body in death.
Yeah.
So this is a great mystery, right? The St. Thomas Aquinas reflects upon this in the third part, the Tertia Pars of his Summa Theologiae, question 50, article 3. He affirms that the Word of God is united to both soul and body in Jesus' death, even though the soul is separated from the body. And even the Catechism affirms this. In paragraph 630, during Christ's period in the tomb, his divine person continued to assume both his soul and his body, although they were separated from each other by death. That's a mystery.
There's a lot of mysteries in the incarnation. Yeah. The incarnation brings kind of a reality that is beyond our mind.
It's called a mystery of faith, brother.
Yeah.
And that's why it had to be divinely revealed. Now, I eliminated C because if Mark would have answered C, I would have had to have given him the right answer.
Because
Christ
in the beatific, he always had the
beatific vision from the moment of his conception. So even in his death, the Christ's human soul had the beatific vision and thus, quote unquote, heaven.
Marie, are you there? You want to tell us what Teresa is taking home with her? Because after two rounds, Mark, you now go on to final judgment. And Teresa, we got some prizes for you for playing with us. We got...
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Marie, what do we got?
Teresa's going to take home both of Carlos' current books that are published.
Okay, so Carlos, fantastic. Two books. So she's going to get a copy of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And she's also going to get a copy of Carlos' newer book, which is Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Faith.
Catholic beliefs.
Catholic beliefs. Oh,
I was so close. You missed it by one, brother.
I was so close. Teresa, congratulations.
I mean, that's great. Thank you. I could actually use that second one.
Fantastic. Teresa, I hope you enjoy them.
That was fun, and you did great. Darren actually came into my office this morning and said, those are harder than the usual questions that you give. So that was a pretty impressive performance from both of you. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back for final judgment for Mark. Thank you, Teresa. Thanks so much.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Okay, so we're about to go back on air. Mark, you ready for your final judgment?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Perfect. We got you now.
I hope I can say that in the actual time. For final judgment. For my final judgment.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I hope I can say I'm ready. I feel like I won't be saying. I'm working towards that. Oh, I need the list of books. Okay. All right. It's so funny when you don't do this for a while, you forget. Do you have the list of books? For me? You're the best, Marie.
She's married now, man. She got extra greases flowing. She's on top of her game.
If everybody could see how happy Marie is, they'd all be getting married right now. They'd just be grabbing people off the street getting married. Huh. No. Oh, we're on the air right now? Oh, welcome back. That was a terrible trick. That was a terrible trick. I was talking about Marie.
God, we were behaving ourselves.
I know. Well, imagine if we were saying something bad. You're welcome back to the game show. It's time for final judgment from Mark. Mark says he is prepared for his final judgment. Mark, let me explain to you how final judgment works, and then you can tell me if you really are prepared for your final judgment. We got 7 true or false questions. Each true or false question has a prize attached to it. If you get the question correct, you get that prize. If you get all 7 true or false questions, and I made them kind of hard this time, if you get all 7 of them, you also get $50 to spend however you like at shop.catholic.com. All that clear to you, Mark?
That is. I'm ready.
All right.
Fantastic.
All right. You are ready. Did I say how happily married Marie is on the air? Did that go out on the air?
It did.
Okay.
Mark said it did.
Okay. Well, she is. She's very happily married. married. Maybe David's mother is listening in England, and she'll be so happy to hear that. See, maybe that was fortuitous. All right, you're playing. The first question is for a book called One Less God Than You by our good friend John DeRosa.
Highly, highly praise that book. Fantastic book. Good friend, John DeRosa.
And John's a good guy, too.
Yes, he is.
This is a great prize worth playing for. It's a true or false question. Mark, true or false, the hierarchy of Pope, cardinals, bishops, priests, and deacons existed in the early church?
True.
Oh, why did you say
no? Boing.
That was the wrong sound effect. The answer is false.
So Mark, the key word there in that is cardinals, right? And even technically like Pope, because Pope is not something distinct from bishops. He is the Bishop of Rome. He just has a supremacy, right? So you have bishops, priests, and deacons existing in the early church. Cardinals didn't come about until the 8th century. So, and that's an honorary title that's given to some to help the Pope in administration of the church, right? So that was a little tricky one there for you, Mark.
Mark did 23 years in the army, and now he sounds mad at me. And
I you better watch out,
this
brother.
This is a highly trained person.
That's it, man.
And he doesn't sound like he likes me now. All right, that was a kind of a tricky one. Sorry. The only thing about One Less God Than You is it is a great book, and now you're not getting it. So let's go to question number two.
One less book.
Maybe we'll find a way to play for it again. One less book for you. This is not supposed to be so mean. All right, question number two is for Secrets from... Oh, this is a good book from Father Sebastian Walsh. A great book on the parables and sayings of Jesus. True or false, Mark? Mary is worshipped by Catholics because she is full of grace. Mark, true or false? Mary is worshipped by Catholics because she is full of grace.
False.
He got that one right,
You're saying
brother.
She's not full of grace?
Not worshipped.
She is not worshipped.
There you go. That's right. One does not follow from the other, right? Just because she is full of grace, it doesn't follow that we worship her because she is
a creature. You can't worship
created
a creature.
Created by God, that's right.
I'm going a little quickly now just because the clock is ticking away here. Now you're playing for Prepare the Way from Carlo. All right? This is but Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, or the Church. This is question number three.
Well, never mind. Sorry. I was about to say something.
True or false, Mark? True or false? Mary is the greatest of all creatures. True or false, Mark? Mary is the greatest of all creatures.
False.
Oh, that was true, Mark. It's true, man.
Yeah, I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
I think I know what he was thinking. He was thinking Jesus is greater.
Right, but Jesus is not creature.
But he's not creature,
he's creator.
And that's the thing is, this is very hard because his human nature is a creation, but Jesus is not a creature.
Correct.
That's really hard, though.
Yes.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Pius XII, in his encyclical on proclaiming the queenship of Mary, states, "For from her union with Christ, she attains a radiant eminence transcending that of any other creature."
All right. Question number four. Oh, playing for Joe Heschmeyer's book, Pope Peter. Joe Heschmeyer has two books out right now. One of them is great. It's called Pope Peter. And I say it's great because that's the one we publish. So the other one he could sell on his own. Pope Peter, you're playing for true or false, Mark? By nature, all angels are higher creatures than humans. True or false, Mark? By nature, all angels are higher creatures than humans.
True.
That's right. And
good
by nature is the key there. So if we consider the Blessed Mother, right, our previous question, insofar as she is human, compared to Michael the Archangel, insofar as he is a pure spiritual being, he is greater by nature. But Mary does supersede Michael in the order of grace, in as much as she was called to be the mother of the Son of God.
And now she's the Queen of Angels.
She's Queen of Angels.
I know, because we have a parish called Queen of Angels, and they got her picture on it. True or false, Mark?
Good job, Mark.
I'm continuing. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let him play again for One Less God Than You by John DeRosa for question number five, because the book we had here is not out yet. So he gets another shot at One Less God Than You. So here we go. You're playing for One Less God Than You, the fine new book from John DeRosa. True or false? Baptism is the only means that we know which ensures entry into eternal beatitude. True or false, Mark? Baptism is the only means that we know which ensures entry into eternal beatitude.
True.
Very good, Mark. Paragraph 1257 in the Catechism.
And now you've got One Less God Than You by John DeRosa.
That's it.
This is going really well. All right. Well, now we're going to play for The Bible is a Catholic Book. Do you know the author of The Bible is a Catholic Book? That's not the question. he's trying to think about it because he doesn't want to. No, the answer is Jimmy Akin. No, that wasn't the question, though. The question is, you're playing for The Bible is a Catholic Book. The question is, true or false, Catholic faith is meant for everyone. True or false, Mark, Catholic faith is meant for everyone.
True.
Very good. Jesus desires all to be Catholic. Period.
Really? Everybody?
Everybody. Why? Because it's the fullness of the truth and life that he came to give. And Jesus wills that all come to experience that truth and life, that their joy may be complete. But the caveat is that he wills for us to be participants in his divine plan to bring people to that truth and life.
It's a lot of responsibility he's given us.
Indeed it is. A great dignity, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the cup half full, right?
Right, yeah.
It's
right.
A great dignity.
That we get to invite other people into the fullness of truth,
God,
even though we don't.
God wills to work in and through and with us in order to accomplish his divine providence, to execute his providential plan.
All right, Mark, I got to say this to you before we do question number 7. You're playing for Meeting the Protestant Challenge by Carlo Broussard, our extraordinary guest today. And I just want to say this right up front. This is not a trick question, because I'm going to say it and you're going to go, is that a trick question? And it's not a trick question. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Mark, true or false, the man Jesus is physically alive right now. True or false, Mark, the man Jesus is physically alive right now.
Don't
overthink.
No, do not overthink.
Listen, I'm gonna help you out. Just say false. This. Jesus is physically alive right now. True or false?
False.
Oh!
What?
Mark, did Jesus rise from the dead?
He did.
Is he alive forever?
And I think it.
You overthought it.
I thought I was going to help you by saying it's not a trick question, and I think I made it worse. Everybody's looking at me like, you idiot, why'd you say that to him?
He was probably starting to think Nestorius, man, and thought maybe you were going in that direction of a schizophrenic.
Can we give him
Jesus?
The book anyways, Marie? So. Marie, okay, assistant producer. Fortunately, Marie is very happily married.
Hey, it's my book, so I get to judge that he gets it.
Okay, good. Good, Carlo judges. Because I made it all weird, but I just didn't want him to be like, oh, that's a trick question. And then, sorry about that. Mark, you're a great guest. Thank you very much.
I had so much fun. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, I got to tell him what he won. He won One Less God Than You by John DeRosa. He won... Secrets from Heaven by Father Walsh. He won Pope Peter from Joe Heschmeyer. He won The Bible is a Catholic Book by Jimmy Akin. And he won, sort of won, but he's getting, Meeting the Protestant Challenge by Carlo Broussard. Mark, again, thanks for your 23 years of service to this country and for your listening to Catholic Answers for all these years, despite the fact that Patrick Coffin left and the show went downhill after that. And thanks for playing with us today.
Great. Thank you. Hey, quick shout out to Father Capodanno High School in Bass, North Carolina, Sacred Heart and St. Anthony Parishes here, and John Paul II Elementary School in Southern Pines, the Archdiocese of Military Service for all the wonderful things over the years. And you guys, there at Catholic Answers, are the giants of Catholic apologetics, and I love you all.
Thank you, Mark. It's all very kind.
Amen to that.
That's great. That's cool. Do we allow shout outs? I don't. Am I in trouble now? Or no? That's okay. All right. I'm just kidding, Mark. Sorry. Oh, it's Friday. That was fun doing the game show, Carlo. That
was
great.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be a part of the game show.
Yeah,
it's always a pleasure.
I'm not thrilled with all my wording. I feel like I might have hurt Teresa a little bit with some of my wording. I'll just let it go.
She's an interesting gal.
She said there's nothing interesting about her, and she was very interesting.
And she's like a teacher of seventh grade. I mean, come on. That's like as interesting as you can get, because that requires strength, baby,
you. You're a guy that knows.
I know.
You taught those kids.
I'm teaching them right now in the house.
Darren, who we got on Monday? Can you tell me? Oh, yeah. What's that?
Cool.
We're going to talk about what with Mark? It's the pro-life one? Oh, we got Father Sebastian Walsh on, too. Oh, yeah, the Mass is a Victory Banquet, first hour on Monday. Second hour, Father Sebastian Walsh is going to talk with us about God's providence.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Carlo Broussard has been our guest. His brand new book, Purgatory is for Real, is not quite available yet, but it's available for pre-order on Amazon and shop.catholic.com. Purgatory is for Real by Carlo Broussard. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.